This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
I don't know what to start with first, Lisa Beeney. I really don't. But I think we should do business first and kind of pain and pleasure second. What do you think?
That sounds like a good order.
All right, so let's talk business then. Let's just recap what you do and a little bit about your company.
Okay, so I'm from Green Isle of Wight. We're a community interest company. That means we don't make any money. Everything we do goes back into helping the community. And we, our kind of mission statement is to help people make their homes warmer and cheaper to heat. As part of that, we've also found that a lot of people suffer from damp and mould at home. So we're just starting a new project to help tackle that, because it's a growing issue and damp and mould can really affect people's health. So we have some little gadgets that we can provide to people that will measure the temperature and humidity in their home and can act as kind of a warning sign as to whether you're at risk of damp and mould. And we can come round and do a home visit and help people work out what's caused it. Because there's normally a cause. And quite often, when you can work out what's caused the damp and mould, a lot of it is quite easily fixable.
This is fascinating, because we've had an issue like that in our house, and we've become aware of it. You came around, gave us some great advice, and you know, now we've sort of alleviated the problems. But let's just recap a little bit, because this sort of stuff, if you've got it in your house, and most people have got a little bit somewhere, or they've had a little bit somewhere, yeah. But it's quite damaging for your health. If you've got respiratory problems, this ain't going to be good for you. So you need to do something.
No, and I think the impacts of this are only just being realised for people's health. But the whole air quality side of it is only just starting to be taken seriously. And the problem with a lot of the air quality side is that you can't see it and you can't smell it. So you've got no idea what your air quality is. With damp and mould, you only see it really when it's there and apparent. If you have an early warning sign beforehand of knowing how to measure the temperature and the humidity and what those numbers mean, then you have a chance to do something about it before it becomes a real problem.
I would imagine most places that you've got are probably kitchen, bathroom, that sort of place.
Not just that. I mean, we see a lot of damp in people's bedrooms, because people in general don't like the bedroom as warm as the living room. When you get up in the morning, you get up, you leave the bedroom, close the door and forget about it. And you quite often forget the ventilation side and getting the clean, fresh air through. And if you have a particularly cold wall and you have a lot of damp air in the room, because we all create moisture just by breathing. So when you're in bed at night, you're breathing out warm, moist air. That will be attracted to the coldest surfaces in the room, which tend to be any uninsulated walls and around windows and things. So that's where the damp will form and then the mould will form. If you open the windows for 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening, it allows all of that damp air to leave the house and can actually go a long way to help prevent damp and mould.
Wow, worst case scenario. I mentioned kitchen and bathroom. Worst case, you mentioned bedroom. Mm-hmm. You're in bed. If you're in bed for 8 hours of an evening, you're breathing all that in. Whereas you might have a shower and you might only be in there for about 10 minutes.
Yes, and again, there's a greater emphasis now on ventilation. There's new government regulations actually come into force on June the 15th for how we measure energy efficiency, and doing the retrofit assessments for properties now, we have to measure the flow rate from each fan to make sure that, yes, you've got a bathroom fan, but is it actually working properly? Is it doing the job you need it to do? And you become a lot more aware that a lot of the fans we all have at home really just aren't up to the job. So they'll do a something, but they won't do as good a job as you actually need them to do.
I must admit, we had a fan fitted in our bathroom about two, maybe 3 years ago, and I, you know, you can hardly hear it. It doesn't sound like it's doing much. And we also took the time and the trouble to paint a ceiling with some special paint in the bathroom. And we've noticed that we've got some black marks coming through again. But I also believe that this fan is just not working. I think it's just clogged up. But they said you don't ever have to clean it. You don't ever have to restart it or anything. And I must admit, next time we come around, I might get you to have a look at it, because it's a bit of a concern.
Yeah, no, we can do that. And one quick, easy way is using a tissue test. So a fan should be able to hold a tissue up to itself when it's running. So you just get a normal tissue, hold it up to the fan, and it should stay held there by the force of the fan.
Wow, that's a tip.
That's just a quick, easy method. And if it won't hold a tissue up, there's no way is that going to be good enough.
There's nothing in the tissue. It's not damp or anything like that.
No, nothing in the tissue.
Got to be a dry one.
Clean, dry tissue.
Okay, that's fascinating. So kitchen and bathroom, there will probably be, you know, targets for mold and stuff.
But yeah.
Bedrooms, well, cold walls to look at. Anything else?
Having furniture right up against outside walls, because you're creating an area without air circulation behind it. Having wardrobes that are absolutely crammed full of stuff. I know at home we've got a built-in wardrobe that's been built in against an outside wall that's not insulated, and we have to be really careful that we don't put too much in there, because that then traps air in there. There's no air circulation and the whole thing starts to become damp.
Wow, I'm learning something here. I've got a stupid question. I've seen damp on the ceiling.
Yep.
I'm guessing you can have damp on the floor as well.
You're less likely to have damp on the floor because hot air rises and the humid air is attracted to the coldest surfaces. The walls are far more likely to be cold than the floor.
Right. Okay.
But so normally corners.
What about upstairs? When it heat rises and hits the floor, would that cause an issue? I told you it was stupid.
You'd have the damp would be on the ceiling downstairs rather than the floor of upstairs.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Any other useful tips?
You can use a 50-50 vinegar water solution, just plain white vinegar, to clean damp off. That doesn't have any nasty chemicals in it and should work quite well. Ventilation is key, and trying to reduce the number of things that produce moisture in your home. So if you're cooking, put the lids on the saucepans. When you've had a shower or a bath, open all the windows afterwards. I say lots of people either don't have extractor fans or they don't work terribly well. So getting all of that moist air out, and whenever possible, please don't dry your clothes indoors, because that releases an enormous amount of moisture into the air, and that is going to go somewhere and it will find the coldest surface.
Right, okay. That kind of makes sense. And I say this time of year, people have got their stuff hung out on the dry. But winter time, that must be a real problem. So would it be, here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be easier and cheaper to put your stuff in a tumble dryer, or put your stuff and dry it indoors but have some kind of dehumidifier system in the room?
It depends on the energy consumption of a dehumidifier and the type of tumble dryer you've got. If you do a full load of washing, and if we take one of those heated aerers, for example, if you're running a heated aerer and a dehumidifier to get the damp out of the air, you're most probably going to have to put your washing on that heated aerer in two different lots. So by the time you've run that heated aerer and the dehumidifier to dry one load of washing over two sections, it can be cheaper to use a tumble dryer. Especially if you have one of the new heat pump tumble dryers, because they only cost a fraction of the price to run than one of the old condensing tumble dryers.
Okay, look, I know we've talked about things. We haven't actually. We said we're going to talk about something completely different, and which kind of leads us on. Tumble dryers, you know, expense and so on. Not quite so expensive if you have things on your roof that make your money and save your money.
Yes, solar panels. And the last month has been brilliant for solar because we've actually had longer daylight hours and we've had far more sun than I think we had all winter. So the solar production has gone right up. And you have all of that energy available for you to use during the day. And not only that, any excess energy that you don't use, you can sell back to the national grid and be paid for. So that can help reduce your energy bills right down.
So if you're now thinking about getting solar panels, there are grants that you can go for. Are there any pitfalls? And I ask that question because of a certain person that I don't want to name him, but he keeps talking about tariffs and so on. Is that an issue at the problem? What advice would you give if you were going to go for solar panels? Obviously, there are some grants, but are they more expensive now because of these tariffs, or are we making our own?
We're not making our own. The tariffs that a certain orange-shaded gentleman across the water talks about only affect things imported into that country. So it doesn't affect things that we import into the UK.
Right.
Most of the world's production of solar panels is still from China. The price of them over here has not gone up. In fact, over the last few years, the prices have come down and the capacity on them has also gone up a little bit as they've become a bit better, a bit more efficient. There are grants available, and that's dependent on the existing energy efficiency of your home and your own personal circumstances. So if anybody's interested, then drop us an email at info@greeniow.org.uk and we can help work out if you're eligible for any of those grants. The other thing we also do, even if you're not eligible for the grants and you want to fund it yourself, we're happy to provide free advice to people as to what works best for you and the way you live. And then if you get two or three different quotes, we're more than happy to look through those and go through those with you to make sure that, first of all, it will do what you want it to do. And when you're comparing them, you're comparing like for like. Because sometimes it's very difficult to know if one brand of an inverter is as good as another and what do all these numbers mean anyway. We can help explain all of that.
It's good advice because, let's be honest, how many times in your life are you going to be buying solar panels? Once, maybe twice. So, you know, if you see a car, you know what car you want, and you probably know the pitfalls of having that car or not. With solar panels, it's like far more complicated. If you've never bought any before, what do we know?
Yes, and a lot of it is down to how you use energy within your home, because there will be limiting points in the system design. If you think of electricity a bit like water, and think of solar panels as a water gathering system on your roof, and then your cables are like the pipes that are going to deliver that water around your house. If one of those pipes is too small and you're generating far more than you can use, it will go to waste. So it's making sure everything within that system is sized correctly for the amount of energy you're likely to need.
See, talking to you makes it all easier and it makes it all make sense. So if you want to, you know, have a conversation with Lisa or part of the team, then you've got to make contact. The number is, and the website details are?
Our phone number is 01983 668900 and our website is just greeniow.org.uk.
And you might think that, you know, well, yeah, but it's not winter yet. I don't have to worry about heating. Yeah, but you're missing out because you've got all this sunshine And what does sunshine mean? I can hear Brucey saying, what does sunshine mean? Points, money, pounds? Or, you know, it's worth getting done now, thinking about it now. Don't wait until winter.
Yeah, and even with your heating, because a lot of the grants will pay for heating upgrades as well. So if you're thinking about having a heating upgrade, doing it in the summer when you're not wanting to put the heating on, it's actually a really good time to do it.
Yeah.
Because if you have it done in December and you're without heating at home for a week, you'll notice it far more than you will this time of year.
Great advice. Thank you, Lisa.